Very happy New Year to all of us gathered here this morning in the building, and those of us that are meeting us via our Facebook live streaming and our YouTube channel. I'll ask that you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. We'll commence reading from verse 31 to the end of that chapter. Mark chapter 8, we'll commence reading from verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Amen. The beginning of a new year is a time when many people, Christians included, take time to evaluate their lives and make resolutions. And I'm sure most of us have begun making plans, setting goals and determinations for 2021. For most, these plans or these resolutions do not go beyond the first month of the year. Life, for most, is like a roller coaster, making movements, yet no real progress is being made. And yet, in the folly of the thinking of many, they are still hopeful, or we are still hopeful, that things will be different in this year, 2021, but still employing the same methods, the same plans, or doing things the same way you have always done them. And for most, we fail to realize that the real problem is not the goals we set. The real problem is you. The real problem is sin in your life. Sin in the lives of human beings. We live in a world which gives most attention to rewarding the appetites, the physical appetites of the body, and give nothing to the appetite of the soul. And consequently, people are one-sided. They become physically fat, as it were, materially fat, while spiritually they remain slim, frail, and feeble. Your soul demands as much attention as the physical body. It demands fellowship with God, communion with God. It demands quietness and meditation. It demands worshiping the one who created you. Unless your soul is fed, it becomes weak. It remains discontent, confused, and restless. And many people, in trying to drown the cryings and the yearnings of the soul, they tend to many vices, hoping that as they drown themselves in these vices, they will quiet the cryings and the yearnings of the soul. They tend to alcohol. They tend to all kinds of sensual pleasures, all kinds of sexual desires, in an attempt to quieten their souls. And yet they fail to realize that it is looking to satisfy your soul in wrong things. Nothing but God can completely satisfy the soul. The soul was meant for God, and without God, it is restless and remains in secret discontentment and torment. And the passage we've read, the Lord Jesus Christ asks a searching question. He asks a question that all of us must wrestle with at the beginning of the year. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And this is a question that we need to wrestle with as we begin the year, as we begin to make plans for this year, as we begin to entertain the possibilities of greater things in this year. The question of our Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded for us in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. And so as we begin this year, let's ask ourselves that question. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? And this question should challenge us. It should challenge all of us that as we start a new year, we must resolve to make proper resolutions. Resolutions that are beneficial to your soul. Resolutions that will be beneficial to your spiritual growth. Resolutions that will be pleasing to God, and not resolutions that will aim to satisfy your personal selfish desires, but resolutions that will make you to desire to serve God more than you've ever done, and to desire to get close to God in this year. And so let's open up those two verses and draw some lessons for us. The first thing we see in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the question of the Lord Jesus Christ, is this. The Lord Jesus Christ shows us that as your soul is a treasure that is incomparable to anything. Your soul is a treasure that is unmatched. It's incomparable. Verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain Excuse me. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? The seriousness of that question is seen in the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ is phrasing the question. The Lord Jesus Christ, with affection in his heart, who knows the human mind, the human heart, puts this question in simple yet straightforward words, clear terms. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul? The seriousness of this question is seen when you think of the person asking the question. The one asking the question is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead. The one asking this question is the one who created all things, the one who knows the real value of your soul. The one asking this question is the one who came to save sinners from their sins. And as he speaks, he asks this question, which is a soul-searching question. He asks this question with affection. He asks this question with concern. He asks this question knowing the reasoning of man and how man is quick to forget important things or things that matter the most to them. And he asks, for what does it profit a man to gain the world and to lose his soul? And the word soul there refers primarily to the inner person or the inner part of the person. That which gives true identity of a person. But also the word soul encompasses everything you are, including your physical body. But in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ is focusing on the real you, your inner you, your true you. And he says, it is foolish for anyone to seek to preserve their physical body by denying Christ when such an act will come at a far greater cost to your soul. Being made in God's image, human beings have a greater value, or have been granted a value that far surpasses anything in this world, in this creation. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in our passage today that gaining the whole world is not a prize equal in the value or in the worth of your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, imagine you having this whole world to yourself. It still lacks comparison with the value of your soul. It cannot compass it. It's inconceivable to gain the whole world and you lose your soul. Think of all the treasures you can think of in this world. They can still not be compared to the value of your soul. Your soul is a priceless treasure. It is the real you. The Bible teaches us the value of the human soul. That your soul is your most valuable possession. more valuable than the whole world. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ is asking this soul-searching question. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, whatever it is that you are chasing after, whatever it is that you are willing to give in exchange with your soul, it is inconceivable. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, verse 18 through to verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we are told there that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And there the Apostle Peter writing to the saints scattered all over Asia Minor. And as he writes to them, he reminds them that even though you are going through persecution, remember, if you are in Christ, that your soul was purchased not with silver or gold. These things are corrupt. They are perishable. Your soul was purchased with the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who is without sin. And Peter is showing us that this is the value of the soul. It took the Son of God to come into this world to redeem your soul. And yet many people are willing to sell their souls for surely trivial deals, for the gains of this world which are short-lived, forgetting that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, allowed Himself to come into this world to die for sinners, to ransom them from their sins, showing us the value of the soul. And as Christ died, He was raised on the third day and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, granting salvation to all those who call upon Him. You were created in the image of God. You've been granted a value that far surpasses anything else in this world. And the question I ask is, do you realize that your soul is a treasure that is unmatched? Your soul is that possession that God has given unto you that cannot be matched in worth with anything in this world. And so I ask you, as you go about chasing the world, trying to gain your whole world, can you pause for a moment and seriously look at what the Bible says and see how valuable your soul is, and see that by chasing the things of this world, you are on the path to lose your soul for eternity in hell if you die in that state. Your physical bodies will decay. They keep on changing. This new year again will prove to you that your bodies are decaying as you continue to age, to grow old. They are decaying. And even if the world was to kill your physical bodies, it is a loss that is only short term. Because the Bible tells us those who are in Christ, death to them is like a gateway into eternity. For those who are in Christ, their souls are safe in the palms of the Creator of heaven and earth. No one can snatch them out of His hands. And each day they live, they're looking forward to that day when they'll hear the trumpet of the Lord sounding and coming for them. But I ask you, who's still living in sin, still trying to gain this world, chasing after the things of this world, chasing after the things that will not satisfy, chasing and drowning yourselves into the pleasures of this world, and yet forgetting that you are slowly losing your soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ is asking you this question: what will it profit you? What will it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Your soul is a treasure that is unmatched. It is incomparable to any created thing in this world. The second lesson from the question of the Lord Jesus Christ is this: that losing your soul is a tragedy that is inexcusable. Losing your soul is a tragedy that is inexcusable. It is a disaster that is unjustified. Verse 36, again he brings out that question. He says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul? Other version will say, and to lose his soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, losing your soul is a tragedy that is inexcusable. It's unjustifiable. You cannot find any reason to justify why you lost your soul or why you're losing your soul. This puzzling question of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of the context in Mark 8, where the Lord Jesus Christ is telling people to deny themselves and follow Him. A quick look at the context in which Christ was teaching about gaining the world and losing your soul shows that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, challenged people to make choices. He challenges hearers to make choices, and He's challenging you to make choices. And it's right in the middle of these instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving, that if anyone wants to come after Me, he must deny himself. But you must not forget the context. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving this before His disciples. And when He began to talk about what will happen to Him, how that He will suffer and die on the cross, Peter rebukes the Son of God. Peter failed to understand that the reason Christ came was to come and die for sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks at Peter's rebuke and sees the work of the devil behind that, and He rebukes Satan. And you must not forget the context, that the Lord Jesus Christ in this context still sees it fit to challenge His disciples on the need to ensure that their soul is safe in Christ. He was talking to His disciples and those who were present, and He challenged them to follow Him and to deny themselves. And in the midst of those challenges, He makes that puzzling question, that soul-searching question: what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul? And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you present, listen to what I'm saying. Can you make an inquiry of your own heart? Can you do a self-examination? Can you do a soul-searching? Be honest with yourself. Sit in silence of your heart and examine yourself. And ask yourself the question, what is it that ranks right up there in the top position on your list of most important things? What is it that is on top of the most important things in your life? Is it the preserving of your soul in the hands of God? Or is it gaining the world? And the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying, what will it profit you? You gain the world and forfeit your soul. You lose your soul. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says forfeit or lose your soul, he's not saying a soul can be lost in the sense that it is misplaced. Or that the soul is lost in the sense that it goes out of existence. No, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that you can lose your soul, and that loss is the loss of spiritual well-being before God. Separated from God by sin in this life, and ultimately separated by God in the life to come for eternity. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's not saying that you've misplaced your soul. He's actually saying that you are separated by God in this life because of your sin. And if you continue in that path, ultimately you will be separated from God for eternity. And this is why he's saying that losing your soul is a tragedy that is inexcusable. It's unjustifiable. You cannot find any reason to justify why you continued in your rebellion against this God who has extended his salvation in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Gaining the world and losing your soul, The two things cannot be compared. Such a simple question of profit and loss. When you look at the two, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, your soul is worth more than what the world can offer you. Because the soul will continue to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And so you cannot compare the two. What you need to use is the law of contrast and not of comparison. You can contrast the two, but you cannot compare the two. The loss and the gain can be contrasted, but you cannot compare the two. The treasures of this world are limited quantities, and therefore they can easily be measured and valued. But the worth of the soul, it cannot be measured, it cannot be valued. Your soul, in a lot of sense, is unlimited. It will continue to grow. It's not limited quantity. And therefore, you cannot look at the values or the things of this world that are limited in their nature, that can be valued and estimated in comparison to a soul which was created by God. God himself, who is eternal, who is infinite. When he created man, he breathed into man the breath of life. The Bible tells us man became a living soul. No mathematical formulas or calculations can arrive at the value of your soul. No finite mind can determine or estimate the value of your soul. No human mind can grasp the value of your soul. And so gaining the whole world in comparison, rather in contrast to losing your soul, is inexcusable. What will it profit you if you have 5,000 followers on Facebook, 5,000 followers on Instagram, 5,000 followers on Twitter, and then you lose your soul in hell? What will it profit you to have been the talk of the world and to die and be eternally separated from the God of love? What will it profit you when everyone is looking and talking about you, and yet you know that your soul is restless, your soul is discontent, because your soul has failed to find rest in God? What will it profit you when you die and you go to hell in a place of torment? Like that rich man in the Gospel of Luke, he died and was in hell, and was able to recall his life on earth. And he now pleads with Father Abraham to send Lazarus to go and warn those behind. As one of the preachers, as he was preaching from that parable, he said, you could hear good news from hell, where a man is in torment, and then he says, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to go to my father's house and warn them about this place. And yet then the Lord Jesus Christ is asking you to search your heart. And so in this year, 2021, what is it that ranks the top in your most important things? Losing your soul is a disaster that is unwarranted. It is a disaster that is unjustified. It's a disaster that is inexcusable. You cannot find any excuse. You cannot find any reason that will stand before God, that God will accept. That the reason why I failed to pursue you is that I found something more important than you. And as you make your resolutions, are you concerned about your soul? Are you concerned about the state of your soul? Oh, for you, it's 1 year into another year. Life just continues to flow. Days mellow into another. Hours, months, years. And it's just life as a routine. Yet you forget that each passing day, we are all drawing closer and closer to meeting with God. For some, it might even be sooner than we realize. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, to lose your soul in hell forever is a disaster that is unjustified. For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? The third lesson we see from the question of the Lord Jesus Christ is this: exchanging your soul for anything in this world is a trade that is inconceivable. Exchanging your soul for anything in this world, it is a trade, or it is a business transaction that is inconceivable. It is unthinkable. Listen to what he says in verse 37. For what can a man give in return for his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? To willingly chase after the things of this world and not care for your soul. The Son of God is saying to us, it is unthinkable. It is inconceivable. Trading your soul, exchanging your soul for any bodily appetite in this life is unthinkable. What will it profit you? You spend your earthly life, your earthly journey, taking care of your body, which is food for the worms, which will die and decay, and fail to take care of your soul. An insect has life. A dog has life. A snake has life. A virus has life. A mosquito has life. Even a frog has life. But you, yes, you have life, but you are created in the image of God. God poured His breath of life in you. That's the greatest gift you possess. And shall you trade your greatest possession with your bodily appetites, which is food for worms? Shall you trade your physical body, which is here today and tomorrow it's gone, with that great possession, your soul, the breath of God in you? Again, I ask you this question. Are you willing, or are you trading your soul for success, for the wealth of this world, for fame or fortune? Are you willing to do that trade? Or are you trading your soul for these things? And the Lord Jesus Christ is asking that important question. And He's asking you this question this morning. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is this that you want to give, or you are giving in exchange of your soul? Wealth? Fame? Success? Fortune? Is that what you are willing to trade for your soul? And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, that's a poor business transaction. Because the things of this world, they are unrewarding. They are unsatisfying. Because there is a God-created vacuum in all of us. that cannot be satisfied by any created things but God Himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able to say, life does not consist in the abundance of what one has. That vacuum in you is left there by God. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. Nothing in this world will fill that vacuum in you. Only God can satisfy and fill that vacuum in your life. How long will you chase after these things? How long will you drown the cryings of your soul in a bottle? How long will you drown the yearnings of your soul in sensual pleasures, in bodily appetites? How long will you chase after these things? And the more you chase them, you are left empty, wanting more. And the more you chase, you are not satisfied. And you convince yourself, maybe I must change my pursuits. And from beer drinking, now maybe it's sexual appetites. And from that, maybe the next thing will be drugs, hoping to find that high that will satisfy the yearnings of your heart. And I tell you, nothing, nothing, nothing will satisfy you. These things are unrewarding. They are unrewarding. Look at what you are doing to yourself. You are wasting your life away. The things that rank top in your life will not satisfy you. Only God will satisfy. And the Lord Jesus Christ is asking you this morning, 2021, first Sunday of the year, what will you give in exchange for your soul? What is it that you are willing to trade for your soul? If it's not God in Christ, if it's not the salvation of God given to us in Christ, all these things will not satisfy you. What was Cain's reward for killing his brother? What was his reward for jealousy? He was cursed and made a wanderer on earth. What was Achan's reward for that Babylonian garment and the wage of God? He faced the judgment of God. What was Judas Iscariot's reward for those 30 pieces of silver when he betrayed the Son of God? He was driven to commit suicide. He took his life. Yet when he was entertaining the thought, when Cain entertained the thought, when Achan entertained the thought, when Judas Iscariot entertained the thought, there was this picture that sin painted to them, that you find, you'll be satisfied when you have these things. And when they finally got wind of those things, they discovered the emptiness and what they had done. They had sinned against God, and the judgment of God fell upon them. What shall you exchange for your soul? Your career? your job, the pleasures of this world, which are here for a season. Is that a trade you are willing to take? Is that the exchange you are willing to make? Money is temporal. It's temporary. It is short-lived. Property is fleeting. Careers are short-lived. God is eternal. There is a preciousness God has bestowed upon each one of us. His breath into us, the breath of life. And that preciousness, your soul, is beyond anything in this world. God, who is eternal, is calling you to examine your life this morning. He wants you to see the value of your soul. And that's why we're told in Luke 15 that there is rejoicing in heaven where over one sinner who turns away from sin. There is rejoicing in heaven. Why? The heavenly bodies, the angels, God knows the value of the soul. And He knows that a day is coming when your soul will be in will either be in heaven or in hell. And Luke tells us that there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner turns. The whole of heaven joins in the celebration of a sinner who turns away from sin. That because they know the value of the soul. Exchanging your soul for anything in this world is a trade that is unjustified. It's unthinkable. Because you know that when you die, all the things you've been chasing after, you will leave them behind. You know that you will not go with them beyond the grave. And why do you continue to pour your energies and everything about you into things that will not go beyond the grave, and you forget the only possession that will go beyond the grave, your soul? What is it that you are willing to exchange with your soul? What is it that you are willing to give in exchange of your soul? As this year begins, look at your life that has gone by. Or look at the year that has gone by. Look at the previous years that have gone by. And be sincere with yourself. You've chased after these things. You've pursued these things. Are you any happier today because of the things that you are chasing at the expense of your soul? God knows the value of your soul. And He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for your soul. That in Christ, you may truly know the value of your soul. That in Christ we may truly begin to realize that you are created in the image of God. You are created to worship God. And because of sin, God cannot accept your worship. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, God delights in you because of the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this truth sink in your mind as you leave this place. Let this truth sink in your mind that those who are in Christ will never leave heaven, and those who are outside Christ will never leave hell. So as you continue to chase after the things of this world, let this truth sink in you. If you die in that state, you will never leave hell. Just as God's children will never leave heaven. You spend eternity either in hell or in heaven. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ stresses the value of your soul and asks that soul searching question. He wants you to grasp that question, to wrestle with that question, to understand that question and answer that question while you still have time. As this year begins, is your resolve to follow Christ and Him alone? Is your resolve to live for this God who died for your sin? Or as the hymn we sang at the beginning, are you looking at 2021 as another year of service to God? Or for you, it's another year of service to the devil in the pursuits of the fleeting pleasures of this world. Life is brief. Eternity is long. And long not in a sense of the way we understand. It's forever. Pause and ask yourself the question. What will it profit you? You gain the whole world and you lose your soul. Only Christ can satisfy you. Only Christ can save you from your sins. Call upon Him today. Believe in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And He will save you from your sin. He will help you to see the true value of your soul. And you can sing with God's people, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed in His infinite mercy. His child. Forever I am. And oh, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I know it. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And as I live in this world, as I see and long to see the end of 2021, I'll continue to sing with joy and assurance. I know I shall see the King in His beauty. The King in whose law I delight. Who has loved me. Who gives me a song in the night. Redeemed. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb Oh, friends, if you don't have this assurance, if you don't have this joy, call upon Christ now. Believe in Him for the forgiveness of your sins, and you too can have this joy and this assurance that I shall see the King in His beauty, because He has redeemed my soul. Let's pray. Father, we pause, reflecting on the question of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? This is a question that human beings do not want to wrestle with, because sin deceives in thinking that when we acquire more and more of this world's treasures, then our souls will be satisfied. God, remind us of that vacuum that can only be satisfied by you. We thank you for allowing us to see this year. We'll ask, gracious God, that cause that each one of us will face this question, wrestle with this question, and answer this question, that nothing in this world can satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy. Lord, we pray that the word preached will not be snatched away from your hearers by the cares of this world, by the wiles of the evil one, but that may this word remain in our hearts. And for those of us who are Christians, may this word continue to help us see the value of our souls, and that this word will continue to cause us to save you. But Lord, we pray for those still in their sins. Help them to realize that the things of this world cannot satisfy. Help them to realize that while they are focusing their energies and attention on the things of this world, time is ticking. And when they think they've achieved all they wanted, they may hear those words, "Today, your life is required of you." Lord, cause that none will live like the rich fool, but that the ones that were under the preaching of your word, present in this building, and those joining us on our live streaming, that, Lord, they may come to Christ in faith and in repentance, and believe in Him for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, we pray that may God the Holy Spirit seal this truth in our hearts for the sake of Christ. We'll ask that you dismiss us with your blessings. We offer all these in the name of the one in whom you are well pleased, even your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.